I do hope you realize how blessed you are to have the music you have. Aren't they great? I believe that in your heart of hearts, each one of us wants to know God more. Now, I'm not suggesting that we want to be called home for face-to-face right now, but I do think we want to know God more as peace, as creativity, as love, as guidance, as energy, as nature, to know God within and all around us. Because to know God more is to experience life more fully. And that's really what we're here to do, is to feel the presence of God. I like to think that we are in the process of looking for evidence of God, that we're all spiritual detectives seeking to know God in ways expected and in ways unexpected. But that requires our willingness and our awareness. Let's begin with awareness. What are you aware of right now? You hear my voice, perhaps sounds of air conditioning, other people, wherever you happen to be. You have thoughts, you're thinking, feelings that you have. Perhaps you feel the presence of the support of the chair you're sitting in. Our awareness seems to be able to be unlimited, but we limit it too often. We have certain expectations, actually. Some of our expectations limit our highest awareness because we think something is going to be a certain way, and it might not be. I'd like to try something with you. I want to ask here for a volunteer. Now, you're not going to have to come up. You're not going to need to do anything except think of a number. And so I need somebody to raise your hand to be a volunteer, or else we'll be here all day. There we go. Thank you. This could be so long otherwise. So we have a volunteer. What I would like you to do, please, is to think of a number between 1 and 1,000. Don't say it out loud. Think of a number between 1 and 1,000. Have you got it? Okay, now what I would like you to do is pretend you are writing this number down. Focus on it. Everybody send some support. Focus on the number. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Okay, is the number 732? I can't hear you. It works almost every time. Thank you for volunteering. And somebody asked me, what happens if you guess the number? I say, well, I'm just right. What we need to do is to broaden our expectations, to see things in ways we are not used to seeing them, to be more willing to notice the small and the big coincidences in our lives, to be aware of the healings that are happening in our lives. We're continually expressing some level of wholeness, to be aware of the ideas that seem to show up out of nowhere. Maybe in a dream, maybe while taking a shower, some of my best ideas are while I'm getting in the car, starting to drive away, or taking a shower. And it's like my mind is someplace else, but suddenly there's a clarity. There's an idea. Maybe you've had a chance meeting of some sort. So you want to Be aware and broaden your awareness. Notice the sights and the sounds around you. But so often, we seem to be willing to use the physical senses and our thoughts and our feelings and think that we're really aware. But we, at the same time, have numbed ourselves to some of these things, either through our expectations or because we're just doing something else. We're on our smartphones, our computers. We numb ourselves with food and drink. We get caught up on things. Maybe you're one of those folks. I have been guilty of this. When somebody asks you how you're doing, you say, "Oh man, I'm so busy. I've got so many things going on. I've got so many balls in the air. I don't know. I don't want to drop one. I don't want to balance. I don't want to get off balance." And what you must realize is you have to start setting these things to the side in order to focus and just have one or two things. Multitasking, it's been shown, is just, while some people admire that, I have in the past also, what I've come to realize, it just means that I'm less effective in more ways because I'm trying to do too many things at once. When we can focus on one or two things at a time and then be open to that inner guidance, then we are aligning ourselves in ways that help us know God more. We're seeking ways to prove God in our lives, to find and express God in our lives. And so rather than just go through the physical, mental, emotional path, we want to go through a spiritual path as well. With that spiritual path, we all have it, and it means that we open up to our intuitive nature and inner knowing. We do this sometimes through prayer or meditation. There is that in us that is seeking to guide us. We have a feeling from time to time to take a step out, do this, or to step back, to go this direction or that. There's also something that you may or may not have heard of here, I don't know, called divine discontent. Are you familiar with divine discontent? Divine discontent is something that is helping you. It's a gift from God. And it is helping you say, this isn't right. This doesn't feel good. I made this promise to myself and I'm not keeping it. I know that there's a direction I want to go. I keep feeling that there's this book in me that needs to be written. Or I need to learn to play an instrument or to heal a relationship or to change careers. There's that inner something that's rubbing, and that's really a God thing as it continues to help you move through and past this so that you can prove God in your life. And you'll know that it's happening when you finally make the choice and then follow through. So mindfulness, awareness, these are just some of the ways to know God more. We move from awareness to willingness. There's a power that we have, the power of will. We have all of these powers. We're focusing on the power of order. You heard this month, we focused on faith and imagination, the power of will. The power of will is that directing, choosing faculty that we have in us. With all of our powers, we can use them or misuse them. We just cannot not use them. They're always being used or misused. And with will, the misuse of the power of will is in willfulness. We end up being impatient or stubborn, insistent or resistant, my way or the highway. And that is a misuse of the power of will. The use of the power of will that is the most helpful is in willingness. Through willingness to be the divine, in the divine flow of God, we open spiritual doors. See, the thing about the power of will that is different from awareness is that the power of will has us make a choice and follow through. So often, it's easy to make a choice. Have you ever made New Year's resolutions? Did they always work out? Have you made a choice to do something in your life, to start something new, or to stop something that you don't want to do anymore? The power of will has us commit and recommit and recommit. That is being willing. What is it that you are willing to do? What is important to you? See, we choose and then we make it happen. That's the power of will. Maybe you want to make sure you have great relationships. Well, to do that, there are certain things you need to do. You know that. You become a better listener. You are less impatient. You seek first to understand, then to be understood. You treat others with empathy and love, and you listen, and you nurture a relationship because it's important to you. But it takes a will and a willingness to do that. As soon as somebody says something that you are ready with your quick snap answer to go back at, and to say, wait a second, if I really am in the healthiest relationship, maybe this time I can give up the need to be right and just step back and seek to understand. If your physical health is particularly important to you, if that's meaningful for you, then you're going to eat nutritious food. You're going to move. You're going to get good sleep. You're going to take some time in the quiet and meditation to release stresses or anxieties. These are things you're going to do because you have a will and a willingness. Maybe you have a burning desire. I know somebody, my brother actually, who is a business analyst, and he had a burning desire to be a comedian. Those two don't match so well. However, he went to St. Augustine, took improvisational comedy classes, and then he started looking for open mic nights. And he'd go out and he'd be on his open mic night and he'd be doing his gig, his stick. And he would learn what worked and what didn't work. Somebody in the government saw him and decided he'd be good to go around different bases. So he went around and entertained the troops in these different bases. And then he got a job for a couple of years on a cruise line, being the director of the comedy club. He loved doing this. However, it just didn't pay the bills the way he needed it to. So he's still a business analyst by day, puts on his comedy cape at night, and goes out and does his gigs. But it's because he had a burning desire. Perhaps it came from a divine discontent. But see, when we have the will to do something, whatever it is, then we can just step out and do it. It's not so much about our ability as it is about our willingness. Studies have been done that show that one who has a certain IQ, another has a certain IQ, the one that has the willingness will outperform the IQ by a factor of 2 to 1. If you know that there's something you want to do, you align yourselves with this will of God, you are willing, and things happen. Positive things happen. Let me share with you a couple of quotes about will. This is from Rhonda Britton. In order to make any permanent changes, you have to be willing. Willing to see things differently. Willing to experience new ideas. Willing to listen to the people who cheered you on rather than the ones who echoed your fears. From Booker T. Washington, success is to be measured not so much by the position one has reached in life, as by the obstacles which were overcome while trying to succeed. And Joseph Campbell said this, we must be willing to get rid of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. See, the power of will is seeking to move through you. It moves from theory to practice, from idea into manifestation. But it's up to you. If you are willing, you can increase your faith. You can move from doubt to greater faith by seeking to prove God. Little prayers. Try to get a parking space. You know, little things. Look for something on sale. But if you are aligning yourself in prayer, then what you are doing is saying, I'm wanting to prove God in my life. And what you will notice is as you have little pieces of evidence of God, your faith will grow, your prayers will grow, your results will grow. And you will have answered prayer in ways expected and in ways unexpected. If you are in a place of debt or poverty consciousness and you want to have a prosperity consciousness, then you have the willingness to use the power that is the power of giving and receiving. It is the law of circulation. As you give, so do you receive. If you want to have more prosperity in your life, then pray for others. Smile more. Say nice things to people. Treat others, even that person who almost ran you off the road, with a little bit of respect. Don't be praying for the cops to catch him. Don't try to make an excuse. Just breathe into that and say, okay, my job here is to express kindness, understanding. I'm going to do random acts of kindness. I'm going to give financially where I'm feeling nurtured. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to help others. That is moving you from a debt or poverty consciousness into a prosperity consciousness. If you're dealing with fear, we've all dealt with fear from time to time. But as Susan Jeffers says in her book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, from 1987, you can't get over fear or around fear. You have to go through fear. You know this because you have been afraid sometimes. Maybe you've been afraid when you started a relationship to go on that first date. Maybe you were afraid when you had an interview about your job. There's some fear, some anxiety that was coming up. But you know that as you've done this, as you've gone through this, you are stronger, you are better for it. And it no longer has control over you. If you want to move from guilt to freedom, to me, guilt is one of the most worthless emotions to feel for a long period of time. Short term, it is conscience. It allows us to make a change. But see, holding on to guilt makes no sense because you can always make amends. You can forgive yourself and others. You can do something. You can do something so that you're not living in guilt. There's nothing wrong with you because you made a mistake. Something you said or did or didn't do or didn't say. Release that by taking some kind of an action. Be willing. If you are in a place of worry or anxiety, if you're a regular worrier, that is a misuse of the powers of faith and imagination. Notice if you were imagining the worst and seeing limited possibilities for yourself, as soon as you see that, you can shift it. You can see it in new ways with a willingness, with a willing mind and heart. You can see the positive possibilities. See how easy it is to make these shifts, these changes through awareness and willingness. Jesus healed so many people, right? But when he did the healing, oftentimes he said, your faith has made you well. What did it take? It took these people showing up to start with. They had to have the will to show up and be aware and believe. And then the healing happened. He fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. But people had to be aware that he was going to be there and then be willing to show up. We need to be aware that God is always available. And then we need to show up, to open up, to step up, to take the action that we need to take. So be aware. Be in the present moment. We just heard about the power of now. You don't want to be stuck in regrets of the past or fears of the future. Just be in the present moment. you're here to be all that you are created to be. And then be willing. Be willing to step up and step up. Be willing to prove God in your life. There are so many ways to be aware. There are so many opportunities to be willing and take action. There are so many ways to know God more. God bless you.
Thank you, Dan. That was wonderful. Actually, it's helped me with this next segment that I need to do, because I don't think I'd ever heard that term before, divine discontent. But I find it really appropriate. So you know what usually happens here in our service? This is when we talk about the offering and about the need for financial support. And I'm always struggling with this. I'm a board member. I do know what our expenses are. I do know that it takes money to keep this place floating, air conditioning going, repairs that need to be made, etc. There's always somehow a nagging discontent for me in terms of, why do we talk about it so much? How do we increase awareness without really needing to spend a lot of time talking about it? So last night I was trying to figure out, oh, what's my way. I mean, Bev has her way of introducing this, but my way is I went to Worldwide Ministries and I found this that helped me a little bit. It's a little bit like proving God in our lives. And it, really what it said is, when we pass the love offering baskets at an event, we ask you to consider how the message stirs in your heart and moves your soul. For we know that as we give to what spiritually feeds us, it creates a ripple that goes out into the universe, blessing the world around and forming a vacuum that draws more goodness and abundance into our lives. As we give out of the goodness of our heart and our soul, so shall we receive that goodness, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. So if you would just join me in a very short prayer, that divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Now let's hear from our band some beautiful music one more time.